women have an important role in the ministry. A healthy church knows how to utilize the women to their maximum potential in a ministry. Women are frequently the heart of a church. When Jesus was on earth, the people who really cared about Him were the women. The disciples were there, "Come on, Jesus, tell us what you can tell us." But the women are like, "Come on, Jesus, let us love you and take care of you." And this is very frequently the heart of women in a ministry. When a ministry has women that are properly submitted to the pulpit, those women can become extremely dynamic. And they can be extraordinarily used within the right covering. Now, this goes awry in two directions. Number one, you have the direction, and this is the more common one today, I think, of what happened in Corinth, where women were getting up out of order and prophesying and trying to preach and often even usurping authority. And Timothy, who was young and relatively inexperienced at the time, just didn't know how to handle all that. And ultimately, Paul sent Titus to help Timothy out in Corinth. And actually, Titus pastored there for a while. Titus was a firebrand. Titus was a guy you didn't want to mess with. He reminded me of, you guys don't know him, but you heard of him, Pastor Palmer. He died in 1997. He was like Titus. He had the heart of a teddy bear and a titanium backbone. But he was an amazing, amazing man. You could not sway that man. I don't care. He'd love you to death, but you could not sway him. You could not move him, and like truth was immovable in that man's life. He was a neat guy. And he really reminded me a lot of Titus because he had a big, booming voice. And maybe on some recordings you can hear him sing every once in a while. He did the most amazing old rugged cross that I've heard anybody ever do. Because he had that deep, powerful voice that just resonates. And it was just amazing to hear this man sing. But women in a church have a very important role. They can serve in leadership positions. They cannot be pastors. They can't usurp authority over men, but they can have leadership roles where men are under their administrative authority. Now, they're not under their spiritual authority, they're under the spiritual authority of the pastor. But women can have administrative roles in a church. For example, many churches that I know, ours included, right, have women who are in charge of music. But, you know, women have very important places in the church, and largely because of the heart. Women have a different heart frequently than men. I should actually say women can have the same heart as men, however, a very different expression of that heart than men. And so men have to be very careful with the way they treat and deal with women. One of the things that I have seen many times in many places is men who don't know how to handle women. Either they treat them poorly or they're intimidated by them. Neither one is right. Okay, neither one is right. A woman in a church should be treated as a sister. An older woman should be treated as a mother or an aunt. A younger woman should be treated as a daughter. But women are to be treated with great kindness and great affection and great respect. They are not the same as men, and this is one thing that women often have to realize themselves, is that they are not the same as men. Sometimes women expect men to think the way they do. And men expect this too sometimes. to think the way that they do, and they don't think the same way. And that's important to understand. They don't think the same way. They don't express the same way. They don't communicate the same way. They are different. However, a woman was created for a man because God saw that the man was incomplete on his own. Not that he could not be fulfilled or unfulfilled, but it was not good for him to be alone. And so in that sense, he was incomplete. Now, when I'm talking to a bunch of young guys, I do want to stress one thing. That does not mean that you are incomplete without a wife. Okay, you are complete. You are as complete as God wants you to be until He calls you into marriage. So that's an important point. Okay, there are some men who are called to never marry. Just like there are some women who are called to never marry. Most of them, however, that is not the case, obviously. But women have to be treated with gentleness and kindness. They are created in such a way that they are responsive. And so the way that a guy would maybe talk to a guy, you can't talk like that to a woman. Because her soul structure is different than that of a man. Let's say you have two guys and they can, you know, go at it and they're actually just having fun. They can answer in certain ways and no big deal. Because they have a similar designed soul structure. But if you speak to a woman in that way, that will become harmful to her. And it's not because of a weakness in her. It's because the way God designed women. They hear things differently than men. They receive things differently than men. They process things differently than men. And they respond to things differently than men. And that is normal. That is fine. It's good. It's right. Men have the responsibility to be sensitive to that in women. If men are insensitive to that in women, they're actually damaging those women. Now, the woman may have, and our women do, and many women do, have the character to deal with that. But nevertheless, it's not having the right representation or manifestation of who God is toward women. Men really do need to learn the heart of God. A man is not the head of a woman until after the altar. And that is important for men to understand also. A man is not the head of a woman until after the altar, and then he is the head of one woman only. And if he should happen to marry, for whatever reason, another woman, then he will be her head. But only one woman at a time. And so, people have to realize this. I've seen men insist on women submitting to them because they're men. I've seen pastors on having people submit to them who they don't pastor. Well, I'm a pastor. Well, I'm Charlie Brown. What does it matter? You know? Likewise, well, I'm a guy. You have to... No. Baloney. She is a believer priest. She is a portion that was designed with specific purpose and intention by God. Think about it. Man was created from the dust of the ground. A woman was made of the rib of a man. Okay, so an interesting thing, if you will, and I think in some ways this manifests itself, is that while man was made of the non-living, women were made of the living. And that is an important thing. In the same way that we are made out of Christ, a woman was made out of a man. So a woman's capacity for life is frequently much greater than that of a man. This is why in most churches, women are far more responsive than men. Not just our churches, all churches. women tend to be much more responsive than men. Partly because they are responders, but partly also because they, in some respects, desire life to a greater degree than men frequently do. They desire Christ to a greater degree frequently than men do. Why? Because they were made out of that which is living. You see, there's a propensity for us to go through to our origin. Right? And what is the origin of a woman is something living, and so there's a propensity for women to draw to life. For men, there's another different propensity. Men were taken out of the non-living. There's a propensity for men to draw to death. In what way? What do women respond to the most? Life. Women respond to initiation from God the most. Whether it's through you know, the pulpit, or through a husband or a friend, or through whatever vehicle God may bring. Women respond very readily to initiation from God. Men don't. Men frequently respond to initiation of self. That's an interesting thing, because Satan got a woman to consider herself. He didn't take Satan to trip up the man. It took Satan to trip up the woman. Because the woman was more responsive and less self-reliant in that regard. The man, on the other hand, it took the woman. Because the man did not have that vertical orientation as strongly as the woman did. He was oriented to her. Why would he have been oriented to her? Because ultimately he was kind of oriented to self. And men are frequently like that. Men are frequently, what do I want? Right? What job do I want? How do I want to appear? How do I want to go about things? What plan do I have? This kind of a thing. Okay, even when they consider a spouse, what do I want my spouse? And women do this too, but in a different way. What do I want my spouse to be like? Okay, and they think very oriented self. Women, on the other hand, ask the average guy, what do you want in a wife? And he say, I want her to be maybe faithful. I want her to be attractive, intelligent. That kind of thing. Okay, what do women want? Okay, I'm talking about the average Christian guy. What do women want in a husband? I want him to respond to God. Invariably, it seems, or not invariably necessarily, but the vast majority of women, I would say, that's probably an accurate statement. I want him to respond to God. Like, bottom line, I want him to know how to be led. I want him to have God's heart. That's what women want, frequently. Why? Because they're made out of life. We have a tendency to go to where we came from. This is also part of the reason, I believe, why women have a strong desire for their husband. Because they're made out of him. Men have a desire toward their wife, but it's of a different nature. A woman, you know, a man may say, okay, honey, I'll give you this much, and then I have this, and then I have this, and then I have this, and then I have this. And she's like, I just want to be with you. And this is very different. Okay? Women need to understand also, though, that men are different than women. But we're talking about women here and what they are like. Now, in a church, if order is broken, that can be a dangerous thing. Women have this beautiful design. I honestly think women have an impeccable design. Because they are such wonderfully responsive people to the heart of God. And you notice a woman who may be of average appearance or even maybe a little bit physically unattractive. If she has a heart that responds to God, it beautifies her. And that's an interesting thing. On the other hand, and everybody has seen this, you take a woman who has a very good physical appearance, but who does not have a heart that is perhaps pure, or has a heart that is selfish or self-oriented, that kind of a thing, it actually takes away her beauty. And her beauty almost becomes like a mockery. But that's part of the design of women. A woman's beauty is from her ability to respond. Now, in relationships, in marriage, a woman is made to respond to Christ in her husband. She's not made to respond to her husband otherwise. That's in Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, she responds to Christ in her husband. So the Bible says that the Christ is the head of the man and the man is the head of the woman. Yes. But it also says to the woman, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Well, what does that mean, as is fitting? As glorifies God. So if she is submitting to Christ in her husband and she has a spirit-filled husband, then she is to submit to that and submit to her husband in that. If she doesn't have a spirit-filled husband, if she has a carnal husband, she is not to submit to him. That is important, because that carnal husband can take away her eternity, not to send her into hell, but to take away all the benefits she would receive for eternity. Folks, men and women, please understand something. If you do marry, you will be married only so long as you are on earth. Your marriage is not eternal. It may have eternal value, but it's not eternal. And that's very important for people to understand. Spouses do not possess each other. It can happen in relationships that one person, be it man or woman, feels like they possess the other. Nobody possesses anybody. The only one who possesses someone is God, because He purchased all of them with His blood. So for me to say I possess my wife and treat her as though she is my possession, that is essentially to try to usurp authority over God. Because I don't possess my wife. Now, as a husband, what am I? I am a steward of my wife's capacity. I'm a steward of my wife's ability to respond. So I'm a steward of my wife's capacity. And that is what a husband is. And a good husband who is a proper head is one who initiates Christ to his wife. Otherwise, he's not a head at all. There is a proper head, and there is no head. There's not a bad head. That's the thing people have to understand. A husband can be a proper head, or he is no head. But he's not a poor head. Now, if that happens in a marriage, and a woman recognizes this, that her husband is not spiritual, then she has to stand before God and receive from Him directly, and then her husband becomes her ministry. What women do sometimes, married women, is they make the mistake that if they have a carnal husband who isn't, let's say, going out on them in adultery or whatever, if they have a carnal husband, they will react at him. And they will start to accuse. And what you have there is two carnal people going at it. Okay, that doesn't glorify God from either direction. But when you have a situation where a woman is married to a man who's not spiritual, then that man becomes her ministry. Now, for a woman to have her husband as a ministry is an extremely difficult thing, because it goes contrary to the design of the divine institution. And so she has to get a rich portion from God, and she needs to treat her husband almost as an outreach. And she has to be understanding of it that way. And if she does that, she can frequently turn her husband. Now, a woman who's not married should therefore never consider marrying a man who's carnal. Because a woman who's not married is basically agreeing to submit to the man that she marries. Ladies, never marry a man who you do not feel like you can trust with your soul. Because you are entrusting your soul to him. Gentlemen, never consider being married until you have completely yielded to the will of God in your life. And if there is a part of your life where you say me and not God, you're not ready to be married. Because you're going to destroy your wife. 90% of what goes on in a marriage is the husband's responsibility. Now, a lot of men don't like to hear that. Tough. 90% of what goes on in a marriage is the husband's responsibility. And that husband, that man, needs to be able to take that on before he enters into that relationship. Why? Because his eternity is at stake. Now, this is very sober stuff. Sometimes young people, they don't really consider these things too much, and they say, well, I just want to get married. I'm sure you will. But do you realize that another person and their whole life with God is involved? Do you realize that children's lives with God may be involved? If you say to yourself, I'll deal with it later, you're not ready. Why? Because you need to deal with it ahead of time. Because the moment you say, I do, there is a great deal of accountability that's placed upon the man. And if he doesn't walk in that accountability, God will deal with the sin. Marriage is very sober stuff. It can be wonderful. It can be hellish. Either way, it's very sober stuff. Now, if a man marries a woman just because, let's say, she's pretty, then you have a recipe for divorce. What you have the recipe for is an abusive man who the wife will leave if she has any brains. And most women, if they leave him, will divorce him. And so, gentlemen, be very careful. You see, a lot of people, both men and women, think that marriage is some sort of a panacea. But it really isn't. Like something that makes everything wonderful and good and fixes everything. But it really isn't. It really isn't. Now, I know that people may listen to this on the internet, young guys or young girls, either way, but usually young guys more than young girls, and they say, not me, or I don't want to hear it. Let me ask you, and I'll ask the guys here, and you can ask the ladies here too, but I'm really kind of addressing the guys at the moment. How many of you have been married? How long have you been married for? Have any of the guys actually been married here? Then take it from one who has for a long time. You're not different, either was I. None of us are different. That's the thing. None of us are different. You can react at it, you can resist it, you may accept it, and you may embrace it. No matter what you do with the message, the reality of it comes to roost. Wisdom embraces the message. What did Proverbs say? Right? About wisdom. My son, incline your ear. Right? Give heed to my words. Have understanding. Why? Because it brings life. It brings life. I can tell you, as a guy who's been married for a long time, that you will become challenged, and it's not because of your wife. It's because of you. Okay? Because all of a sudden, all the stuff that's weak in you comes out to your attention before it hits hers. And so then you have a choice. Do you care about her, or do you care about yourself? Because if you care about yourself, you'll just slam her with it. If you care about her, you won't touch her with it. Because you'll be a steward of her capacity. This will happen to you guys. Like it or not, I don't know if you do or don't. But it will happen to you. It happens to every married man. They respond one way, or they respond to another, the other way. And some married men choose well, and some choose poorly when they get to that point. When they choose poorly, they damage their family. So if I were you, if you have any wisdom, then I would listen to these kind of things very carefully. Because if you receive what I know all of you want, you will be facing it. And you may think, I'll deal with it later, but it's only because you're not ready to deal with it at all. If you can't deal with that, how are you going to deal with an entire human being who is not you? That's the easy part. Because then you face a woman, and she's got a soul, she's got a capacity, she's got a mind, she's got her own thoughts, she's got her own emotions, she's got her own affections, she's got her own flesh, she's got her own walk with God. And she's not going to sit down and curtsy to you just because you happen to walk into the room. And God forbid that she does. She wouldn't be much of a helpmate if she did. But there are guys out there who have absolutely zero concept of what a marriage is. And they enter into it with no concept what it really is, but all kinds of concepts, but all of them wrong. Does that mean you can't get married until you're ready? Absolutely. Absolutely. Legally you can, but not in wisdom. Not if you have a half a brain cell. Like, think about it, guys. How difficult is it for you to deal with yourself sometimes? You know what's in your minds. You know what's in your hearts to some extent. You know how easy you get mad at certain things. How do you think your wife's going to take it? Really? And you're not going to say, shut up and listen on the head. If you do say that, then her dad needs to come and kick your butt. Because you don't know what it is to be a man yet. And I'm not talking to anybody specific, so don't think that I am. I'm just talking in principle about men in general. On the other hand, you may be a guy who loves God, whose real only interest is the Savior, who isn't trying to be self-serving, who isn't trying to consume a woman upon his own lust. You may be a guy who his primary, he has one vision, and that's Christ. And that's the will of God. And that's the call of God. And that's whatever is of God. That's the guy who's ready to be married. Now, there is a level of maturity you want to achieve, even if you have that. But even if you don't have the maturity and you get married earlier than you should, the heart will sustain you. You'll just go through some growing pains together. One thing, guys, and this happens for some reason to a lot of guys. Your wife is not your mother. Okay? Your wife's not your mother. Don't think she is. Now, that doesn't mean she can't help you. That doesn't mean she can't make dinner or whatever. But she's not your mother. And by the way, you're not her father. But on the other hand, ladies, you have this amazing design. Learn to walk in your design. Learn to walk in your design. If you learn how to walk in your design, you'll know how to respond to your husband. Now, this part you have to understand. Proverbs says, older women teach the younger women to love their husbands. That's important. Okay? It's not the husband that actually teaches her that. The husband initiates that to her. And she may or may not respond. What does it mean then? Teach her how to love her husband. Well, what is love? Patience. Kindness. Right? Not seeking its own. Not being puffed up. Not looking for its own way. You see, women are told to be taught that by other women, older women. Men are taught that, told to be taught that from Christ. So the man has to love his wife as Christ loves him. What does that mean? He lays his life down. Now, guys, listen to this. I've said it before and I'm going to say it many, many more times. If you love yourself more than you love that woman, or if you love that woman more than you love God, you're not ready. You're not ready. If you love yourself more than you love her, she's going to be something which you expect to fulfill your lust patterns. Okay, that's gross. On the other hand, if you love her more than you love God, you've turned her into an idol. And you've made her into something she can never sustain or be. You can't do that. You cannot do that. Likewise for women too. Learn to love God more than your husband and your husband more than yourself. Same reasons with a different application. Because a woman who loves her husband more than she loves God will not know how to respond to her husband as Christ or to his capacity in Christ, his manifestation of Christ, that woman will turn him into an idol. And when he's wrong with God, she'll respond to him. That's the time when she says, "Honey, I love you, but no way." On the other hand, if he is right with God and she loves herself more than she loves her husband, then she won't be a helpmate to him. She'll be selfish toward him. And that's not good either. Because that hinders a marriage profoundly. Pastor Stevens once said that a woman, how did he put it? A woman who's not proper, a marriage in which the woman is not properly submitted to the husband is a marriage that's not productive, that has no fruit. A marriage in which the husband is not properly submitted to Christ is a marriage that is not spiritual. And that has no fruit. Which one do you think is more dangerous? Which one do you think is more dangerous? The one that's not spiritual. The one that's not productive doesn't damage capacities. The one that's not spiritual destroys capacities. It's really important to get these things straight. I have no doubt that everybody in this room will be married someday to someone. Okay, I don't doubt that. This is one of the reasons why we talk about this now. Right? Because you want to be equipped. You don't want to come into the situation with nothing. But I will tell you this much. God is kind of funny. The Word of God says, man makes his plans and God's way prevails. Right? So I can will, as a guy, I can will that something happen, but it's meaningless. The force of my will is simply an emotion that I'm reflecting to myself. But if it is a calling, then that has meaning, that has power. Okay, and that will happen. So wait till you're called. By the way, guys, if God tells you you're going to marry a woman, he's got to tell her too. Okay? By the way, ladies, if a guy says to you, "God told me I would marry you, but he hasn't told you anything." Mm-mm. If he's right, then God will eventually tell you separately from him. If he's wrong, pat him on the head. Say, "That's nice." Be edifying and just realize that he'll grow. Likewise, guys, if a woman tells you, "God told me I was going to marry you," realize that a woman longs for a husband. Realize that a man has deep responsibility because of it. There are some guys I know of who would take advantage of that. Not only will it probably not work out, if it does work out, it will be hellish. Those are divorces. Those are guys who start wandering very quickly. They have no longevity. Anytime a guy approaches something with the intent of consuming it on his lust patterns, once he has it, it's no longer fulfilling. That's the nature of a lust pattern. That's the problem. It's just like people, right? Excuse me, it's just like people. Guys are like people. It's just like people who pursue money. You've heard of this. You've got 10 million and it's still not enough. You got 100 million, it's still not enough. You got 1 billion, it's still not enough. See, lust patterns are funny this way. It's not in the attaining that they find their satisfaction. It's in the desire. Once the desire has been attained, the desire is lost. So when people, and this is, I believe, one of the reasons why there's such a huge divorce rate going on nowadays, is because people enter into marriage out of lust. And once they attain, it's lost. And therefore, there's no longer desire. The amazing thing about the call of God is that God builds the desire. Not beforehand, but after it has been attained. That's the difference. If I have insatiable desire prior to attaining it, I'm probably living in a lust pattern. If I have insatiable desire toward my spouse, I'm living in the design of a marriage. People like to turn that around, though. And when it happens, they'll have the insatiable desire, fulfill it, and no longer have desire. Be careful, folks. If somebody approaches you that way, and you should happen to be responsive to it, and that can be with both genders, and you get into that relationship with someone like that, their desire for you will leave, unless they get completely right with God. Then there's a more difficult marriage than it needed to be, because then there has to be a heart work for them to be right with God within that immediate relationship. So pay careful attention to this, guys. I keep thinking of Proverbs when I talk about stuff like that. You know, I keep thinking of Proverbs. Wise counsel. Something you want. Wise counsel is something you want. Never pursue anything, I don't care what it is, out of wanting. Pursue it out of calling. I can tell you right now, if you pursue something that you are then tied to, and that's what it will feel like to you if you pursue it incorrectly, something you are tied to for the rest of your life, you're going to be miserable if it's not a calling. On the other hand, if you enter into it because it's a calling, then you have all the grace in the world. And it may be challenging at times, but it will also be very rich and joyful. And by the way, there will be times when it is challenging. Everybody has that. There will be times when it's challenging. I'm telling you guys right now, don't ignore what I'm telling you. You ignore it at your own peril. Ignore it at your own risk. But not just risk. To ignore something like this is to ignore it at your own peril. It's like Pastor Stevens used to say, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. Right? You can wait now or you can wait later. You can now or later. You know? You can exercise wisdom now or you'll need to exercise much greater wisdom later. That's how it works, folks. But the design of women is amazing. And when they are properly covered, and then their portion is properly expressed and has an outlet in a ministry and utilized, they can be the heart of a ministry. They can't be the head of the ministry, but they can be its heart. You can tell healthy ministries frequently by what the women are like, more than the men. Because men can be just plain thick sometimes. And I'm not negative against men. I am one. I'm not negative against men. But it's true. Men can be thick sometimes. That's why God gave them women, to smash through some of the thickness. But women can be amazing. Women who are expressing their portion correctly and who are rightly related to God are some of the most powerful beings there are. They can be quite amazing. Sometimes people may say you're putting women on a pedestal. That's where they belong.